Exactly.
Every time you fuck up, I'm going to be like...
No, I'm starting with this. This is our opening. That's our opening. Here.
No, give it to me.
This is
my goat. I'll control the goat.
Fine, then I'll point to you when we need the goat.
Okay, fine.
We're going to use the goat in the intro. Okay, ready?
The path of the witch is so unique.
The gift of witchcraft.
I was able to see, hear, and communicate with spirits.
A very personal relationship between a person and spirit.
Carnal lust and fun things like that.
Working with different energies and spirits and communicating.
Creating magic.
Powerful ritual and powerful spells.
Thanks for joining us again on another episode of That Witch Life. I am joined by my two co-hosts who are both
insane.
We
are falling apart.
This is
It's been a long day, y'all.
Oh, God. We are clearly tired and clearly have very little concept of reality right now. So anyways, we found a sound effect that greatly describes our current week.
This was a gift from my friend Jamie. In fact, she didn't tell me. Those of you that can't see in this room, so only us. It's a goat figurine.
It's amazing.
That you push. And it goat screams at you. And it arrived in the mail, and she did not tell me that it was coming. And so I opened this box and I was like, did I order this? Like, and I like went back through all of my order history. Like,
drunk Amazon is a dangerous thing.
Was I intoxicated? Like, did I fall into a time warp? Like, what happened? And then I was like, what is this thing? I was like, screaming goat. And then I put it together and then it makes that scream. And
it's
like,
everything you would want
and
a screaming goat to be.
And I texted so many people. I was like, did you send me a goat? Screaming goat? People were like, what the fuck are you talking about?
So I'd be like, if I had a screaming goat, Hillary, I would have kept it for myself.
So every time Kanani fucks up this episode.
Which has already been a lot. I'm sorry that you're going to have to get used to that sound in this podcast.
We're all falling apart. This has been a long day already. It's not even, it's like the afternoon and we're all...
I don't even know if it counts as afternoon.
I'm taking a picture of it for our profile.
Oh, yeah. It needs to go on. The goat needs to go on Instagram. That's pretty... That's special stuff right there. We have a mascot now. That definitely qualifies as mascot status. Oh, man. On the plus side, even though we're all nightmares and hot messes just walking around in our everyday lives, we're now on iTunes.
Yeah. We are on iTunes.
Yeah, so, that was a feat. Oh, God. So these are like the three most technically inept people in the history of the world trying to do something with tech. It's sad. We had to reach out to Kanani's ex-boyfriend to save us.
And he did. We were very grateful. Thank you. Enjoy your gift card. Yeah.
We
bribe the people who are nice to us. We know what it takes.
And I said, what are we going to do? Like, do I have to be nice to him for like a day or so?
You might.
And he's like, yeah, probably should anyway. It's been like 15 years.
Right.
Like,
it's been long enough.
I'm still bitter. So
he's over it. I'm over it. Now it's your turn.
Courtney's not over it yet.
I just enjoy being mad at someone.
Yes.
Yeah, nice. I don't really have reason to be mad at anybody else. I might as well be mad at one of your exes.
He gets along with my husband, so I think at this point you're the only one in the room who just sulkingly sits in the corner just pouting.
Do we have to call him? Do we have to? And I said yes. I'm like, fine.
Because we're that mature.
We are very mature.
We're very fabulous. So at least, you know, we had a good start to the podcast episode.
No, we didn't.
Where Courtney usually gives me a ride because I'm on her way and we like to take one car, not two. So we're showing up. She shows up a half an hour early to my house. So I'm like, all right, sure. Why not? That's fine. I'm ready to go. We're on our way. She's like, yeah, we might need to stop and get gas.
Did we stop and get gas? No.
We didn't.
What did you stop for, though?
We did stop because she upset me in the car by talking about the Game of Thrones character she likes, which I do not like. I told her it gave me a tummy ache, in order to fix the tummy ache, she was going to have to take me again through the Dairy Queen drive-thru.
For those who want to know, it's Tormund. Yeah, Tormund is my favorite.
Also, like, oh, FYI, so this Dairy Queen is the slow... I mean, it's like, you cannot...
Is it open? Is it not open?
No, when it's open, you sit in the drive-thru and you're like, is this...
This is the Dairy Queen where we almost died getting to it.
Did I forget that... Does this drive-thru not work anymore? Do I have to go in?
But the sad part was, as we get there, and it's not even open yet, because we're the only people that's trying to go to Dairy Queen at like 11 o'clock in the morning. And Kanani was like, we're going to sit in the parking lot like animals wait until they open.
First, we sit at the drive-thru window, and we're talking amongst ourselves, because I'm trying to figure out what I want. 3 to 5 minutes go by, and we realize that no one on the other side of the window has asked us what we want. So then it starts to clue into us, are they open? I don't know. That's an interesting question. So we drive around the building and we're looking and Courtney goes, I think I heard someone in there. So we're driving around the building. We realize the lights aren't on.
This one lady comes
this
out
This is like 1.5 blocks from my house. So like they're, luckily, hopefully no one knows that they're related to me.
Oh, absolutely. We let everyone know. We're on our way to Hillary's, so we're going to wait here. So we drive around and we see the open sign at 11:30. So that's 20 minutes away. And Courtney looks at me and she already knows the answer, of course. And she's like, they're not open for 20 minutes. And I said, there's a lot of important life decisions that we have to make. This is not one of them. You park and you wait 20 minutes.
Well, and it's funny because I was rushing. So I ran a 5K this morning, my first ever 5K.
Yeah, Hillary's out making herself better.
And so I like 5K.
Kanani's like, we have to sit on our asses in the parking lot and wait for Derek.
I like finished, and then I was like trying to rush back, and then I was like, okay, I'm just gonna let them in, and they can get set up while I rinse off, so no one has to like deal with my sweaty ass. So it was like I was like, where are they? What is going on? And I was like, whatever. So I was enjoying the relaxation. They got the hair and like. We walk in and Courtney has like a look on her face. Like, yep. And I was like, what happened to Dairy Queen this time?
And then we finally it opens. And realize, what we should have done was circle it with the windows down playing the Joss theme. Yes, to get them to open early.
This Dairy Queen is like in the middle of a tiny parking lot where you literally can just drive all the way around
it. Yeah, it's like a weird,
designated drive-thru area, so you really could just circle it with a vehicle.
Then we pull up and Kanani says, I still don't know what I want.
Oh my God.
And then she orders what she always
I would have,
orders.
Like, just spontaneously then, combusted point, in the car
lost
if I was
it.
There.
I am so tired. I just finished my moon time, so my hormones are all out of whack. I started laughing so hard.
She couldn't even order at the window for me. She was laughing so hard. So I had to yell across the car into the window what I wanted. And then she just starts hysterically laughing even more. Then I have to hand my money to the woman and reach over Courtney to do it, because Courtney can't stop laughing. And as soon as I hand this poor woman money, who's looking at Courtney like, what is happening right now? I told Courtney, I'm like, you know she's calling the police, right? They're going to have a mental health check. Cops are going to pull up behind the car to figure out why this woman
They're
is
like, someone's having a meltdown. Laughing. Someone's having a meltdown in the car.
Belligerently laughing in the driver's seat. And so we finally get the ice cream and then pulled up to Hillary's, and then our day got to begin. The wonder that is podcasting.
And then you farted in my car.
And then, you know, I was laughing so hard I couldn't help it. And I've been in that car so many times.
Oh, my God.
It really needed to happen. It really, that was the day. Today was the day.
Welcome to That Witch Life podcast, everybody.
So now that we're on iTunes, we're now losing subscribers.
Yeah, people are like, unsubscribe,
like,
unsubscribe rapidly.
No, it's just my common senses that people are going to stop listening because... What is wrong with us?
So many things.
The list is long.
So many things. We were just going to kind of give an update on what is going on with us and our magical practices.
Yeah, we've had so many amazing guests on, and we just kind of thought it would be a nice time to kind of talk about what we have individually been doing so you can learn a little bit more about us. Who wants to start? Courtney?
Courtney gets to start. Courtney just did
Courtney just taught a class.
Yes.
Okay, so... My new book has thoroughly kicked me in the soul. I probably said it before on the show. So the Morrigan book came back from my editor with its copy edits. So I had a chance to do some rewrites. And this book just keeps sending me down the same rabbit hole. And the Morrigan, who's also known as the Nightmare Queen, when I'm writing about her and spending so much time with her, I'm having some really messed up dreams. The one recently was of my husband pulling a dead calf out of the trunk of our car that I guess I had wrapped up and forgotten about.
You know, like yeah, you do, like you just do. Forget and about a dead calf in
if
your
you,
car.
If you go into the Morrigan myths, and all of her fights are about cows and calves, and so there's got to be something to that there. And it's just a big mess. But I really lose time when I'm really working on that book, because I went to my parents' house for dinner, and my dad's like, "So, how was your week?" And I just looked at him and I said, "I don't know." And he looked at me, and my dad always assumes that it was alcohol or drugs, that something happened. And he assumes that that's where I
he
went.
He thinks your life is so much more interesting than it is.
He does. My dad thinks that I basically live a combination of Woodstock and Studio 54. Basically, those are the only two cultural references he knows. And so he assumes that I live those. And truly, most of my evenings are sitting on the couch while my husband rubs the back of my neck and I fall asleep reading George R.R. Martin. That's most of Or I read a witchcraft book for this show. That's about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I looked at my dad. I'm like, I don't know what happened. And I had to sit and think, what did I do last week? And it's like, oh, every moment that I wasn't working, I was working. I was digging deep into Iron Age Irish mythology and spirituality and contemporary witchcraft practices involving both. So I finally came out of that and sent the book off to the editor. I still cannot read my final chapter without crying, because it really goes deep into, you know, a couple of really hard things that happened to me as while this journey was going on. And I just am perfectly honest in the book, like, y'all, this journey with this goddess truly fucked me up sometimes. And toward the end of it, it was really hard. And so rereading it, this time it was just a misty eye instead of the full out bawling that was happening.
That's
before. Yeah, it's getting there.
Settling in.
And I taught my class last night and I didn't cry. I am known for bursting into tears when I teach my classes. And I start talking about my journey with the goddesses. There will usually be a moment when I break down crying, and it didn't happen last night.
So now you're dead inside like me, is that what you're saying?
I'll never be that dead inside ever.
That's special for me.
No, few of us. You're going to reach that level of morbidity.
That's special for me. I'll take
it. But that's, and I've started exploring my new book, which I'm not quite ready to announce what that is yet, but I definitely feel a shift in the goddess energy. You think this is all in your mind, that you're just, you know, like, until you actually step away from, you said, that was not all in my mind. I really was actually feeling something that was outside of myself.
Yeah.
And these gods come in and they will rearrange your life for the better. But in the meantime, it freaking hurts.
Yeah, it's
you
rough.
You know, it's like when you're cleaning your house or reorganizing it, you gotta, if you make a bigger mess before you have a tidier place, and that's really tough. So, that's where I've been at. So I'm rearranging the altars. I'm getting a new one set up this week to invite a new goddess into the house, and waits to see what she does to me. I've also been getting outside more. I dug up a stump yesterday out of my front yard, and there was a really important lesson in that for me, myself. I realized that there was still a lot of healing that I needed to do from my pregnancy loss this fall. I just kind of moved on. Like, I told my husband, when I was dating, I used to just, if I got my heart broken, the first thing I'd do would slap up a new profile and just go back out on the market. And then it would turn out I wasn't ready, and that would hurt other people and hurt myself. And that's kind of how I've been behaving with this, you know, this loss. Like, let's just get back to work. Let's just keep moving forward, and actually not stopping to breathe that. And my mom bought me these hydrangeas, and I was planting them in my yard. And as I was going along, there was this stump that was in the flower bed, and it was really in the way. And you know, my mom pointed out, she says, at some point you're going to have to remove that, or those bushes are not going to grow. And I thought, okay, another time. I don't need to do this today. Another time, when it starts to become, you know, when the bushes get bigger and it starts to become a problem, then I'll do it. But as I was digging up the dirt, I realized I could not move forward unless I got rid of this old stump, because the roots were so far beneath the house. And I kept thinking, let me just chop off this one, it'll be ready, and I'll take the rest of it later. But then the more I got into it, the more I realized the whole stump had to go. And so I had to stop my plans and put the plans for planting aside and dedicate this extra time to chopping these roots up getting a shovel, digging in the dirt, and actually lifting it up. And it turns out it wasn't as hard as I thought. I assumed that the main root would be a lot deeper, but it had mostly rotted away. But what I did discover is there was some kind of insect nest inside the trunk.
Oh my God.
And I thought they were carpenter bees or termites. My husband thinks they might have been wasps.
Holy shit.
And all the bugs were gone, but that's because we're at the end of winter. And by pulling it out, I realized I might have saved myself a lot more damage by just taking care of this really inconvenient problem now and removing this problem now than just waiting for it to... I don't know why I thought the stump would just go away on its own.
Yeah.
And I realize that's a lot of times that's what I do with myself spiritually is I'll see there's a problem. There's something I need to heal from, address. But I say, this isn't that big of a deal. This happened so long ago. I should be over it by now. I'll deal with this later or it will just resolve itself on its own. But just like an old stump, it's not going anywhere. And you think it's going to be so much worse than it is to actually get rid of it. And you find that it's not as hard as you thought. But then you thought if you don't take care of it, there may be other problems lurking within it that are going to cause you an even bigger problem later on. So I spent 2 hours that I really want to spend planting flowers, digging up a stump. How many hours, hundreds of hours and money did I save my husband and I by removing what could have been a home for really invasive pests? Because it's right next to our house.
Yeah, that would have been really bad.
So that's been a big, something I find like the most incredible message is doing the most mundane work. Magically, like that.
Yeah,
that's and there's a magic in that by paying attention to the life that you're leading outside. Like even living in the city, I would often get messages from garbage when I would see where the garbage would pile up or where the garbage would be put away, and there would something would remind me of something I needed to do with myself. So it was a much bigger answer than we wanted, but I think it's better than talking about Dairy Queen.
Nothing is better than talking about it.
No, that's right. But although you had a problem with your ice cream when you got it.
It didn't taste right.
Because you...
It didn't.
They had probably just turned
They had literally on. Just turned
They
it
literally
on.
Just turned... And I can tell. That's who I am. I can... That's how I know my ice cream.
It did kind of feel like I had a lot of ice crystals in
this
there.
This is what I'm saying.
But yeah, literally because they had just turned it on for you.
Yeah, exactly.
For
time.
Me. I love how you added for me because it's true. It was for me. It was for the crazy lady sitting in the parking lot.
Like an animal.
Like an animal waiting to pounce as soon as the doors open. So, Hillary, what's been going on with you? Besides your 5K run and your effort to be a fabulous, more healthy person.
Yeah, I ran the 5K run. I mean, it has nothing to do... Well, I mean, it was an experience. It definitely... it was hard. I was like... At the end, I was like, my legs, they're just going to... break, like I'm gonna die, I'm gonna like crawl across the finish line. I made it, I ran it. It was a benefit for Albertina Kerr. For those of you that aren't in the Portland metro area, that's an organization that supports people with developmental disabilities in seeking empowerment and also just being able to become more independent through helping them train and place in jobs and live independently, which is really awesome. My uncle was special needs, so I kind of ran it in honor of him. He, despite his challenges, was incredibly independent, lived on his own, worked, drove a car. I mean, just really kind of just was like, nope, I'm not going to let anything stop me. So I was sitting there, I was like, my legs, they're not going to work anymore. And I just was like, we can do it. So it was nice. It was great. Everyone was super supportive. It was a great crowd. There was a 1K, a 5K, a 10K, and a half marathon. And it was all the same area, just the longer courses went for a longer run. But so you were kind of mixed in with some of the like really intense athletes and then kind of the more beginning runners. So it was nice. And there was people walking and there was people running. There was kids. It was great. So that was fun. I feel like my legs are going to be like jello tomorrow. And yeah, my magical practices have been good. I've taken a few classes at QMEB locally, which we have talked about before, I know, and really enjoyed them. I think Erica's a really good teacher, and that's always been really interesting. And then I've been starting to toss around the idea of maybe creating some, like, products, whether it be, like, tinctures or oils or... I'm not quite sure where I want to go, but... I'm kind of looking into, I've been kind of reading up on I mean, I know a bit about magical intentions around herbs and such, but kind of reading up more on that and figuring out how to integrate that into like either candles or baths. Specifically for me, using baths as in a ritual sense is really huge, especially if I've done a lot of work with energy or with spirits. I feel like it's a really great way to cleanse and kind of like just get rid of it. So, or just to bring in, I mean, it's a great, you soak your whole body in it. So it's therapeutic, but it's also, I think it can be really powerful from a intention point. And so I've been tossing around trying to figure out making some of those for myself and then testing them out with some of my friends. And because I think that, the products that I've had, are good, but I like my own way of making it. I'm also really sensitive to a lot of things. So I think it's always nice to be able to make stuff that's like really, really skin friendly. So I've kind of been looking at that, and, I keep saying I'm going to start a number of books and then I never have time to do that. One day.
And books that you're reading or writing?
Reading. No. No one wants to read what I have to write.
Oh, well, I do.
No.
I'm really nosy.
I can sing. I can perform. I am not.
She'll do an interpretive dance. I kind of doubt that, though, Ree. I kind of doubt that you're a bad writer. I just am calling you out publicly in front of all of our listeners.
I think part of it is I have a real hard time staying on topic or not going on tangents. I mean, you guys know me. I'm like all over the place. So
yeah, and I don't have an issue with that either.
But I think, okay, God damn it. But yeah, so I mean, I've never, I don't think I'm a bad writer. I think that I'd need to get in the practice of writing really regularly, which it's on the list of 7,000 things that I'm trying to see. I'm like, when I have a little bit of spare time, and then I'm like, oh wait, what spare time? But yeah, part of the cool thing about doing this podcast is it's made me want to kind of branch out and look at other practices and learn from other people. You know, I kind of have had my practice and how I do it for quite a while, but it's been really refreshing to like get out there and learn kind of different perspectives or different ways. The two classes that I took at QMAB, there was, I think I talked about both of these before, but there was a ink making class for ritual ink, so for setting intentions, for writing a grimoire, for, I mean, any type of ritual in which you were penning down something. So that's all handmade with oils and herbs that are specific to the intention. And then a bookbinding class after that. They're doing a ritual coming up that I'm attending. So yeah, it's been cool to kind of, I think that being part of this podcast has made me kind of reinvigorated me and wanting to branch out more. I think it's easy to get into our habits of like, this is how we do it, and these are the things that are comfortable. And I mean, those are great. Those are practices that I'll use forever. But it's nice to kind of, look at other people's perspectives. And I learned a lot. And I was like, oh, I didn't even think about this, or I didn't even know how to do this. So, and whether or not I end up, you know, putting all of those in my regular practice, I think it's always nice to kind of have new ideas and different ways. I think there's just so many different ways to do things and different practices. So it's kind of cool to have be able to look at someone else's and get inspired by that. So I've been doing that. And yeah, it's been good. I mean, things are good, just hectic. And I think it's going to be a busy summer. I'm performing in the Bay Area soon. And so I have some performance opportunities coming up. So it's going to be busy, but it's going to be good.
That's awesome. I have had one of the things that's really interesting to me about since we've done the podcast is I'm more vocal at home about what's going on and what we're talking about and what we're doing. And my kids have listened to me when I'm like listening to one of our podcasts, trying to, you know, hear what we talked about or if I'm getting a refresher about something. And so they've overheard a lot of things, which has caused them to then ask me questions.
Oh, that's really cool.
It's very cool. So in a lot of ways, this has always just been kind of my thing, and it's exposed them to a lot more because now they're hearing me talk about it. Because I've always talked about it, but not typically with them.
It was kind
necessarily
of your,
present. Right.
Yeah,
it was my practice. Thing.
Yeah.
So now it's kind of becoming more well known throughout the house, the kind of stuff Mom does. They're starting to ask questions more about, you know, my altar table and what does this mean and what is this. And I've always kind of shared things with them, but, you know, they're still young enough that it just kind of would go right over their head and they would go run and play and do something else. Now they're really actively kind of intently listening. And we went to, back when there was Ostara, we went to an Ostara egg hunt, which they had a great time doing. That was really fun.
Awesome. Where did you
there
do
was
that?
A, it was out at Finnan. Oh, actually, yeah. Where Sunfest is going to be.
I saw them post. Yes. I saw them post it was super happening fun. And I was like, thought about maybe.
We did. We were part. My nephew's out. We missed the egg hunt, but we did the scavenger hunt. And that was fun. And the kids had a really good time with that. And it's always nice when we go out there because the land is just beautiful.
I know. I've never been. I'm so excited
it
for Sunfest.
It is so beautiful.
You're going to love
the
it.
The forested areas are just incredible. And just to be walking around, you know, you're not inside, you're not sitting in front of a TV, you're walking around in the middle of a forest, hiking.
There's no cell service out there, so you can't even check your phone.
You can't even check.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's such a wonderful experience. So we had a great time. We did that. The kids played, saw some kids they know from community, and we just had a great time. And one of the interesting things that's happened in talking to my kids about all this stuff and them having questions is one of the things my daughter talked to me about was ghosts, and we've had quite a few conversations about ghosts. Are ghosts real? What are ghosts? And I've said, yes, you know, some people see ghosts, and this is usually what ghosts are. And she doesn't recall, but she used to see them when she was younger, which is why I taught her how to sage. So she knows how to sage, and she clearly now doesn't remember how she learned. The reason she learned is because she used to see things when she was sleeping, and she would scream and she would tell me, like, these people that were watching her, and she could give very, like, vivid descriptions of what was happening. And so it was a few weeks ago, and my daughter kind of comes running into our room, and we always leave our bedroom door open just because the kids wander in and out in the middle of the night if they need something, or sometimes they just come in and use our bathroom. And she comes running into the room and she goes, Mom, I saw one. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she goes, I saw a ghost. She's like, and it didn't scare me. And I said, really? I said, what did you see? And she's like, I was coming out of my bedroom. I looked down my hallway. She says, and there was a ghost of a little boy outside your doorway. And he saw me and he disappeared right away because he was scared I was going to be scared, but I didn't get scared. And so then when he went away, I ran in your room. So that was really interesting for me to have her say that. And I was like, oh, I said, well, do you know who, you know, he was or who he is? And she's like, no, but she kind of described, you know, who he was, you know, what he looked like and all that stuff. But she was most excited about the fact that she's like, I wasn't scared. And
I mean, that's
and
cool.
The fact that she said
that's really cool.
She felt that he went away quickly so as to not freak
scared
her out.
Like
he's there
a friendly
was some,
ghost.
Yeah, there was some sort of a connection between the two where she got this feeling of he's worried, I'm scared. Now he's gone.
He's gone, yeah.
Which kind of made her feel better and less afraid so that she then was talking to me about it. And
I'm sure, too, like, the more she hears about that and talks about, you know, I think it's, I mean, I remember the first time I saw anything and I was just like, what the did I just see? You know?
Yes.
And it's scary because you don't know and you're, like, trying to wrap your head around it. And I think that, I think once you realize that, I mean, not that I've not had interactions with any spirits or entities that I felt were scary. Like, I definitely have where I was like, oh no, I don't like this, you know? But I think that when you come to terms with, okay, this is what this is, and you kind of wrap your head around it and understand it, I think it's less scary because it's just like, okay, this is what this is versus, I don't know what this is. What the F is this?
Yes.
You know, is really scary.
Yes.
And so I think that's amazing that, how old is she now?
She's 8.5.
Yeah. So that's amazing that an 8.5-year-old is going, I saw this thing and I'm excited that I wasn't afraid.
Yes.
That's
yes.
amazing.
Well, I remember, so I've always been able to, I would say that I sensed spirits more than I saw spirits, which is something that people get very confused by because a lot of times people think that if you see a spirit, you see it like you are looking at a vase on your table. And sometimes it can be like that. But sometimes it can be more of a sense. Sometimes it can be kind of
Sometimes it's a smell.
It's sounds. It can be very different. So people can get very confused because they get very hung up on this concept of you're visually seeing something straight ahead of you. And so there's a lot of times where I would say that I sensed spirits or was around spirits and I knew that they were there. And I didn't necessarily like see them with my eyes. When I had the experience of the woman who owned the home prior to me in my previous house, with her, I would see her. It was really funny because she would come to me while I was sleeping and it would wake me up. I would wake up and I would look in the doorframe and I would I would get like visually like a silhouette. And I remember there were times where I closed my eyes and I'm like, I really want to know what she looks like because I need to know if this is bogus. I need to know if, you know, then if I ever see a picture of her, right, I can like see. Is this the same person? And I remember there was one time where I had said that and I'm like, I need to see what she looks like. And a woman like started coming to my, you know, vision of like, this is what she's starting to look like. And I freaked out. I'm like, never mind.
Yeah. I don't mind. You're like,
game over. I lied. Yeah. Game over. And so it like, kind of faded away.
And asked for yeah, it. Like,
and it kind of faded away, but I was starting to see very clearly an image and I was just like, nope, I'm done. Thanks. That was enough reality. And then, I had a roommate, this was a few years later, I had a roommate and occasionally my roommate would bring guys home. And, you know, so sometimes I'd hear them coming in late at night and there'd be some, you know, guy and it was no big deal. And one day I woke up, I had to go get a glass of water. I get up, I'm walking through the hallway and I look in the living room and there's this dude standing there and I'm like, oh, you know,
yeah.
And I'm getting my water and I'm looking and this guy looks absolutely terrified. And as I'm looking at him, like, why is he like, you know, maybe he's like, got a girlfriend, right? Yeah. Like, oh, someone's seen me.
Maybe he's
so I'm trying to figure
out,
I'm trying to figure out why he is so freaked out right now. And then all of a sudden it dawns on me and I hear in my head, you are not supposed to see me. And that's when I went, oh, piss. This is not a person.
This is not a live
person. And I was looking at him like a person clear standing in my living room. Like I had just assumed that was someone my roommate had brought home. And I looked at him and I don't know how, but I immediately knew who he was. And he was a, someone sent to watch over my roommate. And he just looked at me. He's like, you are not supposed to see me. And what was funny is my roommate and I would have arguments about her light, her bedroom light being on. I hated her bedroom. It had a smell. You couldn't have paid me to go in her bedroom. And she would come home sometimes and her bedroom light would be on. She's like, what are you doing in my room? Why are you in my room? I'm like, you can't pay me to
go
in your room.
In your freaking room.
You can't pay me to go in your room. I'm not going in your room. I'm not turning on your light. I don't know what you're crazy. I don't know what to tell you. You left your light on before you left. I don't know what else to tell you. And as I'm looking at him, I go, you're the one that turns the light on. And he kind of smiles, you know, he's still freaked out, but he kind of smiles. He's like, yeah, sorry about that. And I looked at him like, could you please stop? Because we're getting into fights about it.
Yeah,
and he's
we're literally
like,
arguing.
Yeah.
About it.
And he was just like, yeah, I'm really sorry. I'll try and be better about that. And I immediately knew, I knew that he was there. He's like, I'm supposed to be watching over her. And I'm like, that's awesome. But
can you
just keep the light off? Because right now she and I are about to, you know, go knuckles to knuckles. And then, you know, I said, thank you for doing that. Thank you, you know, for being there, and went back to bed. But that was the most clear, uncanny exchange that I have ever had with a spirit. Where, like I said, for the first, you know, probably minute of time, I literally thought it was a person standing in my living room and had absolutely no idea that it was actually spirit. Mm-hmm. And so I've tried to explain to people kind of as they ask questions about, you know, quote unquote, seeing spirits, you know, what that means. Because if they don't physically see something with their eyes.
Yeah, there's so many different ways to feel, sense, see, smell, hear, whatever. I sometimes will just get like an emotion will, I'll feel this like intense emotion all of a sudden, as well as like this feeling of someone being right behind me. Yeah. Happens every once in a while. And I'm just like, why do I say, oh, like, where I'm like, yep. I'm like, I suddenly am like incredibly sad or incredibly like whatever the emotion is. And I'm just like, where is this coming from? And when it first would happen, I was like, am I going crazy? Like, cause I would just suddenly be like, I'm just devastated sad all of a sudden, or like really, really excited out of nowhere. And I just was like, what in the heck is going on? And then as I think for a long time, because similar, I mean, I feel like similar to so many people, it would freak me out. So I was like, I don't want to feel, and especially I really, and now it happens less because I get really upset when spirits are right behind me. I hate it when alive, not alive, spirits, people, any, like standing directly behind me really freaks me out. Makes me really uncomfortable. So, I used to really be like, I think I just shut that off. So, but I would still sense the emotion because I was like, I'm not going to feel these things. And I think you really can, like you can kind of, I feel like I blocked a lot of that for a long time because I was like, did not like what that felt like. And part of that was I didn't know how to have boundaries with spirit. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't know how to say, hey, if you want to talk to me, it's not going to be like this. You cannot stand right behind me. That scares the shit out of me. It would happen a lot. It happened a lot in my apartment in Oakland. Like in one part of the hallway, I'd be walking down and it was like, I wanted to run because it literally felt like someone was directly up against my back. And I was just like, stop, you got to stop that. Do not. If you want me to see you, hear you, sense you, fine, just don't stand right behind my back because it's scary because you feel like you're being chased, or I do.
Right.
It makes me really uncomfortable with humans alive doing that.
There's something, and a lot of times people come to witchcraft because they don't know how to deal with that. I know we were at Pagan Fair this spring, Hillary and I were, and one woman came up to me and she wanted to talk with me about some of the experiences she'd had with spirits waking her up at night. And she made it very clear she's Catholic and isn't trying to change religion, but she doesn't know who to talk to about this. And I reminded her, I said, you're in charge.
Yeah.
And so this is what we think, is that we are supposed to do something with these circumstances. We're supposed to be in service. And there may be arrangements that certain of us through our personal witchcraft practices do end up in certain arrangements with certain spirits. But just like how in our waking lives, we have an arrangement with our employer. We work for this person doing these specific tasks and we get paid for it.
And we have boundaries with our friends and our family and our relationships. And it's the same kind of boundary.
I work for my company.
Yeah.
But, and I work for my tarot clients. But I don't just work for every person that needs...
Ever,
I remember I was trying to help a friend get a job, and the person they were trying to get a job for was actually asking me to help organize stuff for this interview. And I'm like, I don't work for you. Excuse me. What? Who do you think you are? And this is... that's kind of how I feel like with the spirit world, is that I don't have to work for you. I don't have to be in charge of that. No. I can draw a boundary there. And that's something I've also had to learn as a public witch as well. I don't work for everybody who asks for it. You know, there are times like this woman who came to me, she clearly needed some help. And so I gave her some information, but I'm also, just like with my spirit world, I'm not going to be at her beck and call. It's like, here, I can give you what I have. And then, you know, hopefully this is going to help you going forward.
Here's some resources. Here's some things you can do. But,
it's sometimes these spirits are honestly just trying to help. But I know when I was in New Orleans, I had a spirit follow me back to New York. And because I felt like somebody was following me, I thought maybe it was just my imagination. But what clued me off is I was sitting, where my desk sat was right next to a printer. And the printer one time just started going off and spitting out blank sheets of paper. And one of my coworkers just walked by an offhand comment saying, did you bring a ghost back from the bayou? And I went, I think I did. And so I talked to him and I said, well, what is it you're trying to tell me? And he was actually trying to warn me about my ex and saying, your ex is lying to you. He's lying to you. He's lying to you. Liar, liar, liar. Of course, I didn't listen. But then I thought, maybe this is all in my mind, until I was out with another one of our friends, with Isabel, and didn't tell her what had happened. But all of a sudden, she starts looking behind me and she's looking at something else and she goes, get away from my friend, because she saw him. And I said, don't chase him away. I'm trying to figure out what he's trying to tell me.
Yeah.
But that was the clue for me. Like, without me saying anything to her, and I wasn't blogging about my experience at the time.
It's not like anyone
she saw
knew,
him. But, you know, and those are things that I tell people, is that you you can tell the spirits, this is how you're going to approach me.
This is how you're going to approach me. You're not going to do this. So for some people, it's like they don't want it in their dreams. For some people, that really freaks them out, especially people, especially a couple of friends of mine that have like very lucid dreams. It's like too much. It's like overwhelming. It disturbs their sleep. They wake up, you know, like even if it's a good interaction, it's still, it's like not the place they want it. They're like, I need my sleep. I need my rest. Right. So I think it's like, I think it's really important to know that you can say, hey, I need you to communicate with me in this fashion, whether it be, don't come up behind me. I need you to not wake me up in my sleep. I need to sleep. I need you to not just like pop up in my, like at work, you know, like there's parameters you can set. You just have to communicate that. And, you know, and I will, it, you know, I get mad when, I mean, it really pisses me. I mean, like literally the behind the back thing really makes me upset. And sometimes it's a new spirit or a new whatever, but, and then I'll say like, hey, nope, that's not how we do it. Because my initial instinct is like run in terror with that feeling. And it's true. I mean, like even if I'm at the mall, if I'm at the park and someone is right up behind me, it freaks me out. So like having a spirit when it's like at night and I'm walking to my bedroom and it's like, there's someone behind me, you know, it's that sheer terror. And I'm just like, no way, don't, that's not how we do it. I'm happy to feel you. It's not about like ignoring you or not letting you communicate with me. It's about communicating with me in a way that is not going to tax me, that's not going to scare me, that's not going to make me uncomfortable. Because, you know, you don't have to just lay down and go, yep, do whatever you want, spirit. That's not how it works. You know, I think that a lot of times people don't know that they can ask that. And spirits that continue to like be disrespectful of that, I will not interact with.
Yeah. And there's, I think, for me, I finally just told the spirit world that I personally am fine with them coming to me in my dreams, but I say in a form that won't frighten me, because I used to get injured when the spirits wanted to know something. I'd fall downstairs or something would hit me and I would be, you know, hurt enough for a moment where I would have to, then the message would come through like, you need to call your mom. And so finally
you were like, we can't, this is too much.
No more injuries. Okay. So I said, come to me in a form, in a dream that will not frighten me. And that's how my, that the spirits now know. And people say, well, how do I do that? Stand in your bedroom and just declare it out loud. Write it down. Yeah. And
it gets put there, it on your altar. Listening. I mean, like, you know, sometimes I'll just close my eyes and I'll just like, I'll imagine it, like either verbalizing it. Sometimes I'll physically verbalize it. Sometimes I'll write it down. Sometimes I'll sit there and just be like, I mean, I don't think there's a right or wrong way to do that, but whatever feels right to you, whether that is to write it down or write it down and burn it or whatever it is that you, I mean, I feel like we talk about this a lot on the podcast, that what feels right to you, there isn't like a, this is the way you do. If it feels right and it's a way that you can communicate to spirits, I think it's like, it's a good way to do it. Do it, whether it's to write it down or put it on your altar or say it out loud or say it in your head or imagine someone not doing that. Sometimes when I'm trying to do something, I'll just imagine physically like see it happening in my head. And so I think that in that sense, it's, I think it, whatever way works for you, do it. Because I think it makes, once you have those boundaries in place, it makes your life so much easier, because it's not this chaos. They don't pop up out of nowhere. You know, like I don't like being surprised. I'm really jumpy. Like if people pop out, it's not funny to me. Like people think it's funny to like prank people. Like this freaks me out. Like, I'm like, don't do that. I don't like it, you know? And so I think that once you realize that, I think it makes your interaction with spirits that much easier. And it doesn't have to, again, Courtney's right, it doesn't have to be every spirit. You can say in general, hey, spirits out there, knock it the fuck off. Don't do this like this. Like, don't scare me in my dreams. Don't walk up behind me. Don't show me your face right in front of my face. You know, don't startle me. And then we can talk. But if you're going to do that, then I have no interest in talking with you. And I feel like in general, they're pretty
receptive. A lot of times, I think I've said this in prior episodes, where to me, when it comes to people and spirits, it's kind of like some people walk around with the light bulb on, some people walk around with the light bulb off. Spirits are attracted to the ones with the light bulb on because they can see them. Yeah. So it's not a waste of their time to approach a bunch of people who aren't going to pay attention to them. So they're immediately attracted. It's kind of like moths to a flame. They're immediately attracted to the people who are going to see them and recognize them and understand that they're talking to spirit. And so I do think for that reason that you can get a myriad of different kind of spirits that can pop up. But like you said, you don't have to have a communication or connection with every single spirit because it decides to pop by.
Nope.
And you can say, this is how I'm comfortable. You know, hey, yeah, I know you're here. I see
not
you.
Not right now. Not
but
like this.
Yes, if you want to communicate with me, then this is how you need to go about doing it. And I think that that's, I think that that might, and I kind of, that was something I had said to my daughter because she, when I had told her, you know, yes, you know, ghosts are real and some people see ghosts and this is what ghosts are. And she was terrified.
Yeah, that's a
she
scary.
She was terrified.
That's
so
a scary
I, and
thought.
So what I kept telling her was, listen, if you're not comfortable to see them and you don't want to see them.
You don't have to.
Then you don't have to. And that's what I told her. I said, they're, if you just make it clear that you don't want to see them and they won't show themselves to you. And she was like, oh. And I explained to her, I'm like, you do have that control. You have the control of, I don't want to see this. And so that's one of the reasons why I think she was super excited when that event happened, because something happened that in no way scared her.
Yeah, it made her feel comfortable.
Made her feel
and she
comfortable.
Thought, okay, in this scenario.
Yes.
I feel that this spirit is respecting me
right.
and wants to make sure that I feel safe.
Exactly.
But also the key that you're providing, Kanani, is that you're not shutting her down and saying, that's not real, you made it up.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because a lot of, and that's something I talked about last night in my class, because there's a woman there who had had some experiences with the fairies. She's an Irish-American woman born in Dublin. And she said a lot of times when she would talk about them, she would be told, oh, don't worry about that. That's not real. That's, you know, just let that go. And it's because that honestly the adults were afraid.
And
it's terrifying.
Yeah, it's scary. And if you don't know how to explain it, you know how adults are sometimes.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, it's just, we'll talk about that later. You know, it's like, and I think it's important. I think that's brilliant that you, sorry to cut you off, but I think that's brilliant that you are explaining that in that way, because it'll shape her experience in how she interacts.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and like I said, I know that as clearly she does not remember the times that it happened when she was much, much younger. And she definitely, like, she started talking very early. She was always crazy articulate. People used to ask me at her preschool, like, how do you get her to be able to talk like that? How did you teach her to be able to talk like that? I'm like, she popped out that way. And, I mean, she was speaking in full and complete sentences when she was 2 years old, and it was crazy and it was insane. And she was able to articulate to me things that she was seeing as a toddler and describing things to me. And, she would see things that were absolutely terrifying. And I also absolutely believe that she's a very old soul in that tiny body. And she used to be able to, give me directions to places. Like, she would be 2 and a half and we'd be driving by, and we would go to one specific friend's house that we would go to every now and then, and she'd be like, mom, you have to take a left up here. I'm like, how does she know that? Like, this is ridiculous. Like, because I'm still using Google Maps on my freaking phone, and she's memorized, you know, how to get places. And one time she was driving in the car with my mom, and they're driving down the highway, and my daughter in the back goes, Grandma, that's the exit for the zoo. And it was the zoo exit. And my mom, like, told me, she's like, she couldn't possibly have said that, because she couldn't have, you know, like, she can't actually know that. So she must have said something else, and I thought I heard zoo.
I know.
And so she's always, I tried to kind of, when she was little, kind of try and get her to tell me things that she remembered.
Yeah.
She couldn't really say a whole lot. But a lot of things would be familiar to her in ways that, you know, wouldn't have otherwise been.
I think we just underestimate children so much. Like, I think that we go like, oh, they're kids, they don't know. And I think that that's really dangerous, because we like, we cut them off from like, like they feel something, whether it be spirit related or just life related. When we just go close down and say, oh, we don't want to talk. I mean, of course there's certain things that you got to be careful in how you present it or how you talk to them about. You don't want to like scare, you know, you have to handle things calmly, but I think that we really underestimate kids in so many ways. We just think of them as these little things that, and I think that, you know, kids especially, I mean, kids see spirits way more freely than adults do because they don't have that filter of like something. Oh, that's weird. Don't
they don't exactly. They don't have the filter.
They don't have the filter of like, oh, I shouldn't. Oh, that's weird. Or like, oh, that's just, they don't have the concept of like, oh, I just saw that in my head. Oh, I just made that up. There isn't that. There's no society hasn't imprinted on them that this is not what you do, or this isn't how you feel, or this isn't real. And so they, you know, I think that's why they're so creative. That's why they tend to be so expressive. That's why they see these things. That's why, you know, and I think that when we can recognize that children are so much more developed than I think we sometimes give them credit for, it helps them. Because like, can you imagine being a kid and you keep seeing these things or hearing these things or having these experiences and someone goes, oh no, that's not real. And you're like, well, okay, but it doesn't stop there. You know, it doesn't stop. You know, it's not like someone saying it's not real. And eventually your mind, as you get older and figure out how to use your, like, control your thoughts more and more, you convince yourself that that is not real. You go, oh, that's just, I just feel this. And so I think that it's incredible when you have parents like you, Kanani, where they're so openly communicative with their kids, because it changes their experience so much. It's so much less scary. It's like, it's treating them, not necessarily, you don't treat them like an adult, but it's owning that they're more developed than I think sometimes they get credit for. So I think it's awesome.
I think a lot of it also has to do with just acknowledging experiences.
Yeah.
And I think that's one thing also that, you know, people are starting to come more to with just parenting in general, which is, you know, what may seem like a no big deal thing to you might seem like their entire world. Like, they're just completely devastated and you're just like, who cares? You lost a rock. You know, you may not understand like how they're actually feeling.
Oh,
that.
I lost a pet rock when I was a kid, and it was really upsetting.
It's so sad.
My parents were so frustrated with me over losing this rock, but it was really upsetting.
They're like, it's a rock, and you're like, it was my pet.
Exactly.
I carried that rock with me everywhere.
Yeah.
And when it was gone, my mom was just done.
she was like, why?
Oh, good. I hate the rock.
I can still see it. I can still see the colors in it and everything like that. I wouldn't say I'm sad about it, but if I hadn't lost it, it would be part of my altar supplies now.
Meanwhile, you're like, I had this really devastating experience, this pet rock, and your mom's like,
exactly. I think that's what happened.
It's a rock.
She's like, why?
Or I think I was more like the screaming goat, and she was taking the screaming goat and throwing it across the room. Like, no, she did not throw me across the room, but that's figure of speech. Yeah.
But yeah. Good to clarify. We need to clarify.
Yeah, good to clarify.
Clarifying, yeah.
But yeah. But
you know, I think it's, you know, there's, you don't do your children any disservice or any service by negating their feelings. And it's good to help them to, you know, be able to understand their feelings and balance their feelings and all that kind of stuff. Like, we don't need to have a crying fit over every little thing, but there's some things that's worth crying about. And so I think it's good to, you know, talk to them and not just have everything you don't understand or everything, you know, if there's something they say or do that seems, you know, peculiar, you don't just shut it down. Just let it be and let it exist and then go from there. And I think that especially when it comes to spirituality, I have my own feelings of, I'm okay if my children do not grow up to practice witchcraft.
Of course.
Or practice paganism, and they decide to be atheists, or they decide to be Catholics, or they decide to be Christians or Muslims or Jews or whatever. I'm totally fine with that. I want them to do whatever brings them joy and feels true to them. So it's like, I'm also very careful in how I'm not trying to... One of the things I think is one of my favorite things about paganism in general is I feel like it's not a religion that you indoctrinate people into.
No, and I think people
It's kind of like, hey, this is what I do.
Yeah, people
there you
are
go.
Like,
you know,
if
you
like
want to do
down
it,
the
cool.
Street yelling,
yeah.
Like, hey, you need to believe what I believe. It's like, hey, have you know, this is my experience.
Yes.
Done.
Exactly.
And then if someone's like, oh, that's interesting. Tell me more about your experience. Oh, I'm happy to tell you. I'll talk your fucking ear off now. But like, it's not this like, shovel.
This is what you need to believe because these are my experiences. It's like, I'm just sharing with you my experiences.
And I think there is so much flexibility. I mean, it's what really attracted me to witchcraft in general is this idea that, like, it was like, oh, this is, I don't have to fit into something that I don't feel like I fit into. Like, I don't have to, like, force myself into a shoe that doesn't fit. You know, it's like, and that realization made me go, oh, wait a minute. I don't need to reject spirituality because spirituality isn't this one thing that I thought it was. And opening that door for me was really huge and going like, hey, this is a practice that, yeah, there's lots of resources and info and people to help guide you along the way and people that will happily tell you about their experience. But you can also, it's not like someone's going to get angry that you said, oh, well, I thought this, and no, that's not how it should be.
Right.
You know, so I think that kind of
freedom. And of course you get some of that, but
of course you do.
But you tend to, you know, but at the same time, the pool is big enough that, you know, you can just find
so many different types of beliefs, exactly, and practices and beliefs and this. It's exactly so diverse in that sense that I think it makes it easier.
Yes. And I just feel like it's important to, I'm just trying to impart, you know, for my children, some sort of spiritual grounding and some sort of just concept. But I kind of, even with them, like, I don't dictate to them, this is what we do, this is why, this is how, this is the where, this is the then. I just kind of share things with them and let them take what they want and what they like. And if they want to then go do something, then we do it. And if they don't, then they don't have to. And it's, yeah, it's definitely different, but I feel like in general, spirituality and witchcraft and seeing spirits, and it's so different for so many people that I think in some ways it is very much what makes it appealing, like, to a lot of people.
But
like,
it's hard
to me. But some people, it's also, I think, why they reject it, because it's just like, it's too much. There's not enough structure. There's not enough. Well, I need you to tell me how to do this and when and how. And then I'm going to go do that. And if you can't tell me exactly how to do this and when and how, then, you know, I need to find something else. Some people really need that structure.
I think
structure.
You can find that structure in witchcraft. It's just, it depends on what path you go down, you know, and how you,
absolutely,
how you approach it.
So now we are on to our end of our podcast, where we do our as below, so above. I did it correctly.
Yay!
And so we're going to discuss what we want to bring in and what we want to let go of. Courtney, you want to start?
Yeah, and I'm actually gonna pass on the exercise this time because I feel like what I'm doing is digging out a spiritual stump. So it's just it's a little deeper and a little more involved than just what I need to, like, I want to let go of this and bring something in. And so this particular time, I don't feel like it's going to work for me to do that. So, you know, I'm just telling everybody, I just got to work through on pulling some old painful stuff out of the ground, and so that it can make room for better magic to grow. So that's what I'm doing, which I guess kind of sounds like what we're doing, but
it's a process.
It's a deeper process.
And that's okay. I mean, I think it's good to talk about that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not always cut and dry.
Yeah.
Hillary?
For me, let's see. You know, I was like trying to think about this earlier and I was like, what do I really want to bring in and let go of? I mean, for me, I think like I've let go of a lot recently. And so, I feel like sometimes when you go through these purges, it's like, I don't really know that I have anything I particularly want to purge right now or more to purge, but I definitely feel like what I want to really bring in is just to a continued focus on, I guess for me, it's really like the ability to kind of keep open in what happens next. I tend to really sometimes get like short-sighted in what's happening in front of me. Like, well, this is what I want. This is what I'm focusing on. And then I forget about the other things. And so, sometimes it helps to be a little more like have a wider view. And part of that for me is just, you know, being willing to let, especially in my practice, try new things and bring new things in and be open to new and different approaches. And developing new and different areas and getting out of habit, because I've found that doing so recently has been, it's kind of really reinvigorated me. So my kind of ask, or what I want to bring in, is that continued exploration into areas that I really have not explored, because whether or not I land those in my regular practice, I think it's been really invigorating to kind of continue to ask them in. So that's my ask.
I would like to bring in success. And that's kind of a weird thing, I think, to put for a personal thing. But I have been doing very well with closing up old projects and not being so overcommitted to 100 things. And so I'm starting to see the light at the end of that tunnel, and I'm starting to actually get my own personal time, and which is honestly a very, very strange thing, to literally not have my phone ringing off the hook with 100 emails and text messages and people needing my time or needing me to answer a question. And so I want to find things that I want to do for me that I can be successful at. And so I'm kind of trying to figure out what I would like those things to be. Mostly one of the things that I'm looking at is figuring out, because I'm such an uber planner, I'm already working on what's going on next year and planning things for kind of my family. And I'm trying to envision what I want for my family, how I want our dynamic to be, how I want our weeks to go, certain activities I would like us to experience, things like that. And I would really like to feel like, instead of feeling like I'm all over the place, I would like to feel like I'm successful at something. I'd like to feel like I'm accomplishing my objectives as a mother, as a wife, as a parent, as a friend. And I am letting go of stress.
Yeah, let go of that stress.
I really am. I'm starting to embrace the quiet when the quiet comes and the little moments that's coming.
Oh yeah, those quiet moments.
Golden. Man, I haven't had those in a really long time, honestly, and I'm no longer letting myself get upset by that or feel guilt about that. I'm just starting to enjoy them when they come. And I am letting go of stress.
So mote that be.
So mote it be.
I'm sorry. I'm a child.
Amazing.
Speaking of children, I am one.
Well, check us out on iTunes. We're on iTunes. If you haven't already read it on Facebook or seen it on our website. But we so appreciate having you guys listening.
Yeah, and absolutely.
Being able to share our journey with you, and, you know, feel free to email us.
Email us.
Facebook message us.
Add us on Instagram. Like, absolutely. Whatever. If you have questions or you want to comment or you have feedback, like, we're always open to hearing that. So come find us.
Yes. Join us on the first and third Mondays of the month for magical tools, tips, and stories about living as a witch in today's world.
Find us at thatwitchlife.com for archived episodes, or to ask your burning questions for us to answer in future podcasts.